So every year, we take pictures at our house. We have this crepe myrtle that sits out in the front. And on the first day of school, we herd the kids out there, and we make them stand there and take pictures in front of that crepe myrtle, same spot, every single year. Why do we do that? Well, I mean, it's not just so we can post the pictures on social and have all of you tell us how cute our kids are, though that's pretty cool, too. And I agree, they are. They're fantastic. But we take pictures not just on the first day, but we take pictures on the last day of school as well. And then we put them side by side, and we're amazed at what has happened just over the course of one school year. Because, you know, like when you're in the middle of it all, it's just so incremental sometimes you don't even notice what's happening. Because, I mean, the days blur together, don't they? We talk about it all the time. It's long days and short years. And all of a sudden you look up and everything has changed. But you know they're happening. Sometimes it's hard to see them until you compare the two pictures and you go, what in the world? How did you grow 6 inches in the last 4 months? It's incredible how fast time moves and how much things change. And it makes me aware of how important today is. It makes me aware that if I'm not really careful, I can waste that time and I can't get it back. And these pictures, they make me smile, and they make me determined not to do that, not to waste this time. And don't even get me started on looking back over multiple years, and you go, oh my goodness, what has happened? Because it seems like yesterday that we were dropping Micah off at kindergarten for the very first time and crying about that, and now we're crying because we got to figure out what high school he's going to go to, and we're going, what in the world happened? And like, listen, we know that kids grow up as long as you keep feeding them. And nothing traumatic happens. Like, they have a tendency to do that. Things generally progress all right. And physical growth, it seems to happen whether you want it to or not. And I used to tease our kids all the time. I would say, I'm going to make you wear a brick hat so you stay little forever. They go, no, Dad, you can't do that. And it doesn't work. Okay, just for the record, doesn't work. Physical growth, it seems to happen whether you want it to or not. It's not voluntary. However, spiritual growth is. Did you know? Physical growth isn't voluntary, but spiritual growth is. We all must choose to grow spiritually. As a matter of fact, we all choose whether or not we will. And I want us to consider this question this morning. If we could take a picture of our walk with Jesus right now, how much would it have grown since January? What's the difference? Is our prayer life deeper now than it was then? Is our understanding of God's word, is that greater? Are our relationships that we have with one another, are they stronger? Do we love better? Are we more committed to becoming the people who God has called us to be right now than we were at the beginning of this year? Or are we the same? And these are questions that we should ask ourselves, not just individually, though we should ask it individually, but as a church as well, because we know a lot can change in a year, and a lot has changed in the past year. We've been through a lot of things. We've been through a lot of things together. There have been triumphs. There have been trials. There have been really great days. There have been really terrible days, too. There have been days when we absolutely know for sure that God has been glorified, and there have been days at the end where we go, I don't even know why God puts up with us at all. But we're determined to keep going. We're determined to keep going. And yes, there are days when we just need to breathe, and that's okay. That's okay. That's healthy. But we also don't want to be content to just let the time that God has given us slip through our fingers either. See, we don't want to be the same 1 year from now that we are right now. We want to be more in love with Jesus than we've ever been. We want to see more people come to know Jesus than ever before. Yeah, we want to see people being baptized every single week. We want to see people more mature in Christ than they've ever been. And Paul wrote about this in his letter to the Colossians. And we're going to read big chunks of Colossians today, if that's okay. Because I want you to see Paul's heart to the people as he's writing to them, and he's begging them to choose to grow in Christ. He wants them to remember the mission. He doesn't want them to stop growing. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open it up to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to begin in verse 21. And if you're following along in the YouVersion Bible app, you can hit the event tab and look for Swiss Cove in there as well. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 21, it says this. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I've become its servant by the commission God gave me to present you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. But he reminds the church that they were enemies of God. And some of us need that reminder because some of us have been Christians for so long that we've forgotten what a miracle salvation really, really is. Because of Jesus, the condemnation that was on my life has been removed, not because I did some really nice things, not because I earned it or deserve it, because of Jesus, the condemnation that was on my life has been removed. And then Paul goes on and he's talking about suffering for the gospel, which he counts as an honor. He's not worried about that. He's keeping his eye on the mission to present everyone fully mature in Christ. Now, I want you to notice that the goal wasn't just that everyone would become a Christian. Of course he wants that. Of course he wants everyone to be saved. But that's not the end of the story. That's not all he's after. He wants everyone to become fully mature in Christ. And he's more than willing to give his life for this. More than willing. And in chapter 2, he reminds them of the miracle of the cross when he wrote these words. In him, Jesus, you were also circumcised with the circumcision not performed by human hand. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. This is a gospel in a nutshell, is it not? This is the gospel. You were condemned because of the sin in your own life. You had no hope of forgiveness, but then Jesus came and changed everything. He canceled the charges against you. He nailed them to the cross. And maybe you're here today and you're like, man, that sounds really good. And if you have any doubt that that's true in your life, please come talk to me before you leave. Okay? Please come talk to me before you leave. I'll be down here in a minute. And if you don't want to come down front or talk to me, find somebody else that has a name tag on. That means that they're a staff member here or they're one of our elders. We would love to talk with you about how to take your next step of faith, maybe even your very first step of faith. Don't put that off. Today's your day. And if you're with us on the stream, email us at hello@swisscovechristian.com. Facebook.com. But Paul's not, he's not even close to being done talking to the church here. Because becoming a Christian is the very first step. But Paul's goal isn't just that everybody would become a Christian, but that he would be able to present everyone as fully mature in Christ. So I want you to pay attention to what he has to say in chapter 3 to those who've already been Christians. They've already become Christians. Here's what he said. He said, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and image of its creator. Here, there's no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." See, Paul challenges them to continue growing in Christ. Anybody got all that stuff down? Me either. What's that mean? It means we still got work to do. It means we still have work to do. And you must actively choose to grow. Because becoming the kind of person who doesn't struggle with sexual immorality or impurity, or lust, or greed, or anger, or rage, or malice, or slander, or filthy language, that's going to take some time, isn't it? That's going to take some work. And becoming a person who's marked by compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, that's not going to happen on accident either. Anybody else find it interesting that Paul told them that love would bind all this other stuff together? He said, love's going to bind all of it together. We spent 17 weeks this fall talking about how to love better. And here Paul is hammering it home once again. So I'm going to ask you one more time. Who are you going to be a year from now? Who are you going to be 1 year from right now? You've heard us talk about next steps of faith for a long time. For years at this point, it's time to take yours. Now's the time. It's time to move beyond coming in late, sitting and listening, and leaving early. It's time to commit to becoming the person that God has called you to be. He's called you to love. And here's what that looks like. Commit to spending time in the Word of God and in prayer this year. Commit to it. Because listen, you can't grow in Christ if you don't know what Christ said. Does that make sense? You can't. It's not possible. You can't grow in Christ if you don't know what he said. So you have to commit to spending time in the Word of God this year. And just a minute ago, we provided a way for you to do that. If you need help with that, if you need help getting set up, please come talk with us. We'll take as long as it takes to help you get set up so that you can spend time and grow in the Word of God. Okay? But you have to choose to grow. Spiritual growth is a choice. So choose to grow. And if you aren't coming every week, I'm really glad you're here today. I'm really glad you are. If you're not coming every week, commit to coming at least one more time per month than you come in right now. Not so the church can just pad the attendance stats. That's not the reason, okay? The reason is this. You can't be in community with people that you don't spend time with regularly, and you can't love people unless you're in community with them. You can't. So commit to being here and being with one another. We talk about it all the time. We're in this together, so be together. If you're not in a life group, join one before you leave today. And I love our large group gatherings. I do. I have a blast with you all every Sunday. But if I'm going to be completely honest with you, I'll tell you this. The people that have the most influence on my walk with Jesus are in my life group. They are. Because they're the ones that push me to grow and that hold me accountable when I'm slacking. They say, hey, I thought you said in the sermon that we're supposed to live this way, but you ain't doing that. And I say, I don't like you at all, but thanks for pointing it out. Yeah. We need that in our lives. I need it. You need it too. If you're not serving, it's time to start. It's time to get up off the seat and start loving people better by serving them. Because God has given you, as an individual, he's given you incredible gifts. Don't let the kingdom miss out on it anymore. Don't let the kingdom miss out on that gift anymore. It's time to start using it and pour into other people. It's time to love better. That's what we're going to do, church. That's who we're going to be. And if that sounds like a church that you want to be a part of, I'm so glad you're here. You came to the right place. Because this is who we are, and it's who we're going to be. We're not content to just sit back and float along until Jesus comes back. Right? Right. We're not content with where we are right now. Yes, we're going to celebrate and give God praise for everything he's brought us to and through and everything he's done in the past. He's worthy of praise for that. But we also know he's not even close to being done with us yet, right? Right. And church, we still have maturing to do, every one of us. So we choose to grow individually. We choose to grow as a church. And as we grow individually, we'll invite others from the community to join us as well. Yes, we want to see every person come to know Jesus. Yes, we do. We're not going to stop there, though, because we're here for two reasons. You remember? To glorify God and make disciples of the nations. You might say to present everyone fully mature in Christ. So 1 year from now, we're not going to be able to have one service on the 29th. I promise you that. 1 year from now, we can't do that. Because 1 year from now, we're going to be celebrating the fact that God has grown not just the church, but that he's grown us and he's matured us in our faith. And we'll be praising him as we continue striving to love better so that we can present everyone fully mature in Christ. You in? Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for today. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together this morning and praise your name. You are worthy of it. Father, help us this year to choose to grow. Thank you that Jesus chose to come, that he chose to give his life for us, knowing full well that we didn't deserve it and we never will. May we not take it for granted. May we not take for granted the ability that we have to be in your presence and to grow in our relationship with you. May we choose that today and every day. We love you. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.